while they dealt with it. It wasn't long before she said something.
"Do you have nightmares?"
Her voice was small, hesitant. I stroked Hades' fur. "Every night," I admitted. "It's why the guys gave me Hades. He helps."
"The same one?"
she asked, quietly. "Not always." I lifted my head to look at her. "The really bad ones I have over and over."
"How do you deal with it?"
she asked, her voice thick. "I don't know. I've had nightmares most of my life. I guess I'm used to it," I explained. "But my shrink says that once you figure out what your subconscious is trying to tell you, that nightmare will go away, or at least happen less often." She sighed.
"I'll try that."
She got to her feet and headed for the stairs. She stopped before going up.
"Thanks, Lexi."
"No problem," I said, my voice turning raspy. I went to get a drink from the kitchen. By the time I came back, she was gone. I took Hades back upstairs and back to bed. While I waited to fall asleep, I wondered what kind of nightmares Tara had.
Ethan. Ryan was off again tonight. I cursed, stopped playing, and turned in the garage to tell him so. Only I was alone. "Ryan? Oliver?" I called. No answer. The windows in the garage started fogging over. "Eth." Sophie's voice had me spinning back around. Sophie stood there, looking exactly as she had the day of the car crash. "You need to let me go," she said firmly. She didn't sound like a little girl anymore. "What are you talking about?" I asked as the temperature in the garage plummeted. Seriously, was it snowing outside? I moved to the windows, but they were iced over. "Ethan, you need to let me go!" Sophie's voice was hard this time. I turned back to her as my heart started to race. If it was snowing, then Sophie needed a coat. "We need to get home before the snow gets bad," I told her. Her face grew pained. "Let me go!" she screamed. I bolted up in bed, cold sweat running down my chest, heart pounding. I searched the room for what woke me. My breath came out in a fog. What the fuck? A crunching sound came from the corner under the windows. No. Taking deep breaths, I moved to the corner of my bed. My acoustic guitar was off its stand on the floor and shattered into pieces. Fear tore through me. This ghost was getting out of hand. I moved back until I was resting my back against the wall. I needed Lexi to take care of it tomorrow. I watched the fog on the windows disappear, along with the cold. I stayed put, trying to remember my nightmare, until the sun came up.
Chapter 9. Tuesday. I was cursing as I walked through the halls holding a tissue to my bloody nose. Why did I decide to try crossing 21 today? I grumbled at myself. I had been lucky not to pass out in the grass and only had a nosebleed and a splitting headache to deal with. Thankfully, my nose finally stopped bleeding before I reached the guys. I threw away my tissue as I passed a garbage can. When I stepped out of the hallway, I could see something was wrong with the guys. Every one of them was tense. Zeke's arms were crossed over his chest. Miles was tapping out that staccato rhythm on the table, and Asher was rubbing the back of his neck. I stepped up to our usual table with a smile. "What did I miss?" I asked, setting my bag down. I eyed each of them in turn. Ethan had deeper bags under his eyes today.
"That ghost needs to go, Lexi,"
Ethan announced vehemently.
"It broke my acoustic guitar last night."
My heart dropped. Oh, shit. I was going to have to tell them. I glanced to Miles. He met my eyes and made a slight shake of the head. Yeah, not now.
"Okay. We'll head over after school and deal with it. I offered in my normal voice. I don't know how I managed it, but I did. My stomach knotted into one big knot. Ethan nodded as the bell rang.
I'll walk Lexi to history,
Miles announced. No one argued. We were silent as we walked down a hallway until we were out of earshot of the guys. We have to tell them, I said, my lungs tight, heart racing.
We'll tell them after school,
he said calmly, his hand a comforting weight on my lower back.
There is nothing we can do until then.
I wrung my fingers together as my classroom came into sight. I nodded. He was right. I knew he was, but I didn't know if I could take the pressure in my chest until this afternoon. Miles pulled me to a stop, then tilted my chin up so I'd look at him.
It's going to be difficult, but we'll all be there. It'll be okay in the long run.
I nodded. You're right. I know. It's just nerve-wracking. He gave me a gentle smile.
I know. We're all feeling it, too.
He squeezed my arm before letting me go and stepping back.
One of us will be here when you get out of class.
I bit the corner of my lip and nodded before heading into class. The day seemed to drag on and on. That was until I was called to the office out of chemistry. I walked through the empty hallways as I checked the slip again. The counselor's office. The school had a counselor? I resigned myself to being questioned by someone I didn't even know as I walked into the office. I held up the slip to the woman behind the counter. Delaney to see Counselor Higgins, I announced cautiously. She smiled a forced smile as she gestured to one of the office doors. The door on the right. I walked over and knocked. The door opened almost instantly. A short woman with brunette hair answered. She had on a pair of cat-eye glasses that complemented her face. She gave me a friendly smile.
Lexi?
Yeah, I muttered.
Come on in and have a seat, she said, opening the door further.
I stepped into her office. It was clean, organized, obsessively so. Even the books in her bookcase were color-coordinated. I crossed the room to sit in one of the chairs across from her desk. She walked around her desk with that same fake smile plastered on her face. Did it hurt to hold it that long?
Lexi, I'm Mrs. Higgins, the school counselor.
Her eyes ran over me and lingered on my forearms.
Do you know why I asked you to come in?
I had an idea since she was still looking at my arms, but I wasn't about to say so. No, not really. I got the call slip and showed up, I said casually. Her eyes met mine, and the smile dropped.
What happened to your arms, Lexi?
She asked gently. Oh, come on. I fought the urge to roll my eyes. Her voice was serene as she added,
This is a safe place to talk about anything bothering you.
I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Look, I'm sure this is great for people who need help, and I appreciate the concern, but I just got cut up by a cat. Her hazel eyes ran over me before meeting mine again.
A lot of teenagers say that when they want to hide that something is wrong, she said gently.
I took another deep breath and reminded myself to be patient. The office door opened behind me. I turned in my chair to find Mrs. Weaver, the vice principal, closing the door behind her. Mrs. Weaver was a willowy woman with permanent frown lines. Her blonde hair was back in a perfect French twist. Her gray eyes ran over me with a slight glee in them as she moved to stand behind the desk next to Mrs. Higgins. This didn't seem to bother the counselor a bit.
We just want to make sure you're safe,
Mrs. Weaver said. I snorted. The counselor, I believed. Mrs. Weaver? Not a chance. I pissed off a cat.
You were seen with a nosebleed this morning when you arrived on campus, Mrs. Weaver announced.
I went still.
Were they watching me? Was that from a cat?
I met her eyes. No, That's because I picked my nose this morning and accidentally cut the inside with a nail, I said, my voice matter-of-fact. Mrs. Weaver's eyes narrowed on me. Is someone hurting you, Lexi? Your uncle, perhaps? Was she fucking serious? I got scratched up by a cat, I managed through my teeth. Ask my friends if you don't believe me. Mrs. Weaver leaned closer. Why don't I believe you? I don't know. Because you're an idiot? I bit back my reply by biting my tongue. Mrs. Weaver, this isn't how these meetings go, Mrs. Higgins chided the vice principal. Mrs. Weaver leaned back and composed herself. I was losing my patience. Call Ethan Turner in if you don't believe me. It was his freaking cat. Mrs. Weaver's face became a pleasant mask. Speaking of your friends, they've been walking you to each class for a few months now, correct? Yeah, I said, not knowing where she was going with this. This is making them late for class every day, and it needs to stop, Mrs. Weaver announced. My stomach knotted as I gaped at her. What a bitch. I'm still having issues in crowds, I admitted. That's why they walk me to class. Mrs. Weaver's smile turned sickeningly sweet. I understand that, but I can't have you making them late for every class. If they continue to do so, then I will be forced to give each of them a suspension. I glared at her. What the hell was she doing? Trying to use the guys against me? An idea sparked in my mind. I gave her a polite smile. Well, we wouldn't want that, I said calmly. If my friends can't walk me to class anymore, then I'll have to bring in my service dog. Mrs. Weaver's smile brightened. That is an excellent idea. Just be sure to keep the dog quiet during class. The bell rang. My phone in my pocket started vibrating. I gave her a big smile. Of course. He's very well trained. Good. Now it's settled. You can go to lunch now. Mrs. Weaver dismissed me. Mrs. Higgins' mouth was in a tight line. I had a feeling Mrs. Weaver would get an earful after I left. I picked up my bag and left the office. I stepped outside into the hall and pulled out my phone. The group chat was going crazy. Ethan.
Where are you?
Zeke.
Where's who?
Isaac.
Red. She got pulled out of class.
Zeke.
And no one went with her?
Miles.
We didn't exactly have the choice.
Asher.
If she got called out of class, she's probably at the office. I'm the closest. I'll head over there now.
The last was seconds ago. Alexis. I'm okay. I'm at the office. Zeke.
Stay there until Asher gets there.
Asher.
Already on my way, Allie girl.
I put my phone away and waited as the hall grew crowded. A little too crowded. A guy I didn't know bumped into my shoulder.
Sorry,
he called over his shoulder as he kept walking. I took a deep breath and waited for the panic to hit me. When it did, it wasn't that bad. My pulse picked up and my palms started sweating. When nothing else happened, I took a deep, relieved breath. I didn't even have to do my mantra. Learning those moves really must have helped. Asher stepped out of the crowd to my side.
Hey, how are you doing?
He asked instantly. I grinned up at him. I'm actually doing okay, I said, surprised at myself. He smiled down at me.
Good. Now let's get some food. I'm starving.
We started down the hallway toward the cafeteria.
What did they want with you in the office?
I explained as we walked, smirking the whole way. By the time I was done, he was laughing his butt off. He was still laughing as we reached the table.
What happened?
Miles asked. I explained to them the reason I was pulled out of class. About the vice principal and her sudden appearance, I pointed at Ethan. It was your cat who scratched me up, if she asks. Ethan nodded.
Got it. Maybe we should get a cat,
Isaac said thoughtfully. He turned to Ethan.
We can name it Isis or something to match Hades.
You might want to ask your mom first. Miles warned them before taking a bite out of his sandwich.
As if she would say no, Asher said. She'd adopt every animal in the pound if she could.
Asher held up his bag of chips and looked at Isaac. Isaac, with his mouth full, nodded and traded his bag of chips for Asher's.
We'll have to ask tonight.
Isaac agreed.
Of course, if we come across a stray cat before then.
Ask your mom first, I told him. The twins smirked and shared a look. My smile dimmed as I thought about this afternoon. I was going to have to tell them. I set my sandwich down, my appetite gone. What was I going to say to them? I was trying to find the best way to tell them when Zeke growled,
Lexi, eat.
I blinked and looked up. He had his don't argue with me look on his face, which was nothing new, really, but he was right. I picked up my sandwich and forced myself to finish my lunch. I had just put my trash in my bag when my phone rang. It was Ryan. Hello?
Hey, it's Ryan.
His voice was uncertain. How's it going? I asked cheerfully. I was acutely aware that the table had grown quiet and everyone was watching me.
I was wondering if you'd meet me at the coffee house after school, he asked. I want to apologize for Friday night.
I got up from the table and walked just out of earshot of everyone but Asher. You already apologized. You don't need to do it again.
Yeah, I really do, he insisted.
I sighed as I looked at the twins. There was no way I was bailing on them, even if I wanted to avoid that conversation. I actually already have plans this afternoon, but I can meet you now, I offered. The sooner this was done with, the sooner I could focus on other things.
Yeah, okay, I'll meet you by the picnic tables near the trailer classrooms,
he suggested, his voice nervous. Okay, I'll see you in a few minutes. I hung up the phone and went back to the table.
What did Ryan want?
Asher asked. He wants to apologize about last Friday. I picked up my bag. Asher and Zeke got up and grabbed their bags. Guys, they looked down at me. I think I can go alone on this one. That got everyone's attention. After all, going out alone at home was different than going through the crowded halls at school.
Are you sure?
Miles asked gently. Yeah, I think so, I said. I actually did pretty well in the hall waiting for Asher. I want to try a test run. Asher sat back down. Zeke met my eyes.
You have a problem.
I'll call immediately, I promised. He sighed deeply, then sat down. I'll see you guys after school. And Ash, I'll see you before art class. There were murmured sounds of agreement before I walked away down the hall. What the hell was I going to say to him? Apparently he liked me. I could tell that much, at least, from the kiss Friday night. How did I not see that coming? I thought over my time with Ryan. At practices, at Vagabond, at school. I guess there were small signs here and there, but I shook my head and walked out of the hallways towards the classroom trailers. A few minutes later, I was waiting for Ryan on top of one of the picnic tables with a soda for him. I made the guy feel horrible. The least I could do was buy him a soda. Ryan came out from another hallway to the right. He spotted me, then headed over with his hands in his pockets. There were heavy bags under his eyes. Guilt hit me hard, gnawing my stomach.
I made sure not to wear my cologne, he told me when he got within earshot.
Thanks, I appreciate that, I said quietly, before pointing at his soda on the table. I didn't know if you liked cola or Pepsi, so I took a shot in the dark. He picked up the soda can and sat on the table next to me.
You didn't need to do that, he said quietly.
I made you feel bad, I said, looking down at the cement. It's the least I could do to apologize. He scoffed.
You made me feel bad? Damn it, Lexi.
He took a deep breath.
You had a flashback,
Because of me. He looked down at the ground, his face pained. Not because of you, I told him. It was your cologne. Clay, I sighed as I looked down at my hands, dangling between my knees. I was trying to say the right thing here, and it wasn't easy. He hurt me. A lot. And to do that, he had to be really close, and the whole time I could smell that cologne. I looked over and met his eyes. It really wasn't you. His jaw clenched and unclenched.
Lexi, you didn't have a flashback until I kissed you.
I looked away to the hallways, watching other kids walking by. You surprised me, I said quietly, peeling the label from the water bottle in my hands. We learned over the last few months that I can't be touched by surprise. I have to see it coming or know who it is first. I looked back down at the ground. I didn't expect it.
Fuck, Lexi. What did he do to you?
He breathed with feeling. I turned and shot him an angry look. His face was pained and angry. He looked ready to kill someone. My anger melted away. He didn't realize what he was asking, how personal it really was. I looked back out at the people walking by. Not what you're probably thinking, I said quietly. He beat the shit out of me, gave me a skull fracture, things like that. I shrugged, my thumbnail working at scraping off the label still. He cursed.
I shouldn't have asked that. I'm sorry, he said earnestly,
rubbing his eyes with one hand. It's okay. You didn't know. And it was okay. I realized I was talking about what happened to someone who wasn't one of my best friends, who wasn't my shrink or Rory. And I was okay. I wasn't crying. I wasn't panicking. I wasn't ashamed or feeling dirty. I was okay. I held that to my heart. I was healing. It was taking time, but it was a sign. I was healing.
Is that why the guys walk you to class every day?
He asked. Yeah, I have trouble with crowded places, I admitted. You know what the halls are like. Everyone runs into everybody.
Yeah, I get that, he said gently. You hit me pretty hard, though.
He tried to make a joke of it. I winced. Sorry. I didn't know it was you, Ryan, I explained. In that moment, you weren't you. You were him. I wasn't at the lake anymore. I was back at the cabin. I looked up to meet his eyes. He gave me a small smile.
I'm sorry I surprised you.
He looked back at the people walking by.
I thought you knew that I liked you.
My stomach knotted worse. This was the part I was hoping to avoid. I didn't, I admitted.
Damn, I must have been too subtle.
He shook his head before turning to look at me.
Lexi, I want to take you out, you know, on an actual date.
I bit the corner of my bottom lip as I figured out what to say. I didn't want to insult him or make him feel bad, but I wasn't interested and didn't want to lead him on. Ryan, you are a great guy. You're fun, sweet, cute as hell, and incredible on the drums. He looked down at the ground, crestfallen. I hurried to add, any other time I would say yes and we'd go out and probably have a great time. He looked up and met my eyes. But right now, with what happened and where I am in dealing with that, I'm not even thinking of dating. I'm sorry. He took a deep breath and let it out. Then he gave me that killer grin of his.
I figured that, but I had to try,
he said. His face turned serious.
Whenever you do get to where you are ready, keep me in mind.
I smiled. I will. If I was over my best friends by then, sure. He really was a great guy. He gave me a smile and got to his feet.
All right, I'm going to take off. Thanks for the soda, he said,
then pointed over my shoulder.
By the way, did you know Zeke is here?
I turned and looked where he was pointing. In the hallway was Zeke's hulking figure leaning against the wall. Seriously? I shouted. What the hell was I going to do with him? Busted, he headed towards us as Ryan chuckled.
You didn't know?
He had a big smile now.
I'll leave you to yell at him. Bye, Lexi.
Bye. Ryan walked off. I turned around on the tabletop to watch Zeke as he walked towards me. When he was close enough to see I wasn't happy, I asked, Zeke, what the hell are you doing?
I was making sure he behaved.
He all but growled. Zeke?
He kissed you Friday night.
He bit out.
You had a flashback. I have the right to be worried.
I went still. Did he have the right because he was my friend, or because of our kiss? And why is that? I asked, wondering if I was going to get an answer. He straightened and ran his hand through his hair.
I'm dealing with my own shit right now, Lexi,
he said gruffly. I went still. That sounded exactly like what I had told Ryan. Oh, I said softly as it hit me. My chest ached. You could have just told me you thought it was a mistake. His eyes flashed at me before he looked away.
That's not what I said,
he said quietly. I just said the same thing to Ryan so I wouldn't hurt his feelings by turning him down. It's true, but it's the same thing, I told him as I climbed down off the tabletop. When I looked up at him again, he was scowling. He met my eyes.
I say exactly what I mean to,
he reminded me, his voice hard.
That is not what I said.
My chest loosened under the fire in his eyes. My pulse picked up for the second time in months. Okay, that's not what you meant, I eyed him. Do you want to talk about what's bothering you? He shook his head.
Not yet.
The bell rang. I'll be here. His eyes were shadowed as they ran over me.
You have gym now, right?
Yeah. It wasn't a surprise that he had my class schedule memorized.
Are you okay with me walking you, or do you want to go on your own?
He asked, his voice tense. I thought about it. I could use the company, I hedged. The corner of his lips twitched.
Come on, let's get you to class.
Chapter 10. Tuesday afternoon. The drive to the twins' house seemed like it took longer than it should have. It sure as hell didn't feel like 5 minutes. My stomach was knotted with dread as I walked into the house. The twins were in the family room, sitting on the couch and pulling out their books for homework. I doubted any of us would get any done today. Hey, I said, as I set down my bag next to the stairs. The twins looked up.
Thank God, the Ghostbuster has arrived,
Ethan said dramatically.
Do me a favor. When you cross this one, drop him on his head.
Oh, yeah. He was going to regret saying that. I gave him a tense smile. After the others get here, I hedged. Ethan eyed me.
Why wait for the others? You're the badass with the dead,
he said, pulling out his binder. I crossed 21 this morning, so I don't know what the fallout will be, I explained. And if Zeke wasn't here...
She's got a point,
Isaac said.
Yeah, but it would irk the hell out of him,
Ethan muttered, looking down into his bag. I smiled and stayed near the walkthrough. I crossed my arms over my stomach, hugging myself a bit. I started tapping my fingers against my arm. The front door opened. Asher walked in, his face just as somber as I felt. He gave me a sad smile as he squeezed my shoulder before going into the family room. He took one of the overstuffed chairs as we waited. I couldn't sit down, not with the bombshell I was about to drop. I moved to the window and watched the traffic on the street. The world seemed like it had slowed down, or maybe that was wishful thinking because Zeke and Miles pulled up minutes later. They walked up the walkway. When they spotted me, I gave them a small wave. They were stepping on the porch and then into the foyer. I was really going to have to tell them. My chest was tight as I moved away from the window to stand in front of the TV my stomach hard as a rock. Miles gave me an encouraging look as he passed me to sit next to Isaac on the couch. Zeke met my eyes before he sat in the armchair with its back to the foyer. When everyone was seated, they looked to me. Everyone except the twins. They were bitching about homework. I took a deep breath and let it out slowly through the tightness in my chest. God, help me say the right thing. I didn't know if I was praying or not. I just knew I'd take any help I could get right now. "Ethan, Isaac," I said, my voice tense. They looked up from their homework. "Put the books down. We need to talk." Ethan looked around to see that no one else had opened their backpacks. They both set down their books.
"About what?"
Isaac asked. "It's about the ghost in your house." Ethan's eyes narrowed on me as I twisted my fingers together.
"What about it? It's a normal ghost, right? Not a rotted out one."
"Yeah, it's... The ghost told me on Friday it was wanting to cross soon," I explained. Isaac gave me a confused look.
"What's the problem? Go cross the sucker."
"It's not that easy." I swallowed hard as I looked at them both. With my heart pounding in my throat, I told them, "Your ghost? It's Sophie." The world froze as the tension in the room jumped. The twins grew still. Ethan's face turned to stone. Isaac's had gone white. The only sound was my racing pulse in my ears.
"Sophie?"
Ethan asked, his eyes storming. "Yes." I took another calming breath.
"How long have you known?"
Ethan asked through his teeth, his entire body rigid. His gaze was scorching. I fought to keep eye contact. He couldn't hide from this. Neither could I. "Since December," I answered quietly. Miles reached out and rested his hand on Isaac's shoulder. Isaac seemed shell-shocked.
"So..."
Ethan began, his voice shaking with anger.
"Our little sister has been in our house for how long?" "Since the ghost stuff started happening,"
Zeke said, as Isaac held his head in his hands, his fingers digging into his scalp. Miles started whispering to him. Ethan got off the couch and moved towards the walkthrough, then turned back to us, his fists clenched, his body shaking with tension.
"You all knew?"
Ethan bit out. Asher leaned forward.
"Lexi told us. She didn't know what to do."
"You all fucking knew?"
Ethan growled.
"And you didn't say a fucking word."
Isaac started shaking his head. He shoved Miles away, burst to his feet, and headed for the foyer.
"Cross her over."
Isaac's voice cracked as he walked by. Miles got up and followed him. A door slammed open upstairs. Ethan looked at us with disgust.
"How could you fucking keep that from us?"
His voice was full of pain. Banging continued upstairs. My eyes burned. There was nothing I could do at the time.
"You could have fucking said something,"
he shouted. Asher got to his feet and opened his mouth. Ethan pointed at him, his hand shaking.
"Don't you even,"
he growled, then turned back to me.
"Go cross her now."
Heavy steps sounded on the stairs. Isaac came down with a duffel bag over his shoulder.
"I'll be back after she's gone,"
Isaac called over his shoulder before he went out the door. Miles followed him. Zeke and Asher both went out after them. When Ethan turned back to me, his eyes were wild. I tried again through the knot in my throat. "I'm sorry."
"You're sorry? You've been lying to us for months,"
he shouted. He shook his head.
"I don't know you. The Lexi I know wouldn't have kept one of the most important people in our lives a secret."
He turned around and headed for the front door.
"Stay the fuck away from me and my brother,"
he yelled, before slamming the door shut behind him. The silence was thick and heavy. I dropped into an armchair, tears streaming down my face. I couldn't breathe. Burning pain tore through my chest. What the fuck was I going to do? I knew they wouldn't take it well, but I never expected... The phone rang. It was Miles. Ethan left, I told him.
I know. I see him heading to the car. Isaac's already inside.
Miles said,
Are you all right?
Just follow them, Miles. Take care of them for me, I asked as I wiped my face. A car door closed in the background.
I will, but this is just shock, Lexi,
he told me. An engine started.
You understand that, right?
Yeah, I sniffed and took a deep breath. You can't talk and drive, just all of you stay safe. That chill ran down my neck.
We will,
he assured me. I hung up the phone and went to the stairs, slipping my onyx bracelets on as I went. Sophie was sitting on the steps, tears running down her face. It's just shock, Sophie. I tried to reassure her, but my own heart felt like it was breaking. How the hell could I help her? Sophie nodded. They'll come through, she assured me. They always do. I'll go see what I can do to help loosen his pull, I said. She was silent as I turned and left the house, locking it behind me. When I climbed into the Blazer, I was ready to kill someone. I needed answers, and Serena better fucking give them to me this time, or I was going to tear her apart.
Asher. Where the hell did they go? Zeke growled, as he took the turn too fast. I don't know, I snapped, pulling out my phone to call Miles. The twins had sped through a yellow light an hour ago, forcing us to stop while they moved on. Our plan to keep our eyes on them had pretty much gone to hell right then. We'd searched the parks Sophie loved, the places the twins liked to go to hide. Even started calling their friends. We had nothing.
Have you found them?
Miles answered his phone.
No, we've looked everywhere,
Zeke barked at the speakerphone.
What about the quarry?
Miles asked.
Shit, I forgot about that one. We're right by there, I said, as Zeke immediately took the road on the right that would run by the quarry.
They have to be there,
Miles stated.
We're on it, I said before hanging up.
Zeke sped the Jeep up the gravel road. I held on to the oh shit handle for dear life. I can't believe we forgot the quarry. It was Sophie's favorite swimming spot. Zeke kept straight at the fork, speeding down the gravel path that would bring us out inside the old abandoned quarry. The deep pit had filled with water years ago, and it was the only place to swim if you wanted to jump from heights. Sophie had loved it. When we pulled out of the tree line, the twin sedan was parked off to the side. Ethan and Isaac were at the water's edge. Isaac sitting in the dirt, while Ethan threw rocks into the water. We skidded to a stop, blocking their car in. We were both out in seconds and moving toward them, my heart pounding. Isaac got to his feet as we came closer. Ethan turned and swung. I staggered from the blow, tasted blood. Isaac went after Zeke. Ethan tried to tackle me. I took him with me to the ground. I rolled him off me and gave him a small jab to his face. Chaos ensued in blood, knuckles, and cursing. I focused on pulling my punches, while Ethan focused on trying to hurt me as much as he could. I don't know how long we went on like that. I just remember tearing into each other. A loud car horn echoed through the quarry, bouncing off the stone. I instantly covered my ears, cursing. The sound was like an ice pick being driven into my ear. We broke apart and turned. Miles was at his car, which he parked across the road, cutting us all off from the exit.
Enough!
He shouted. Zeke let Isaac out of his headlock and wiped the blood off his face. Miles strode toward us.
Are you guys done?
Miles demanded in his ice-cold voice. We all nodded. I took stock. Several places hurt, but nothing felt broken. It didn't look like anyone else had broken anything either. But Miles wasn't done.
Because Sophie needs us right now, and you guys are acting like idiots.
Ethan glared at Miles.
Don't fucking talk to me about what she needs. You should have told us,
Ethan shouted. Isaac walked away to stare at the water. Miles moved through the group to his side.
What would have happened if we told you in December?
Miles asked pointedly.
Ethan opened his mouth to answer. Miles didn't let him. Nothing. The way was still closed, and Lexi hadn't even managed to link to the veil yet. What could we have done? Let you two torture yourselves until she could cross? She could have worked harder to get the link open, Ethan shouted. Fury burned through me. All the torture, all the pain that Allie went through for Sophie, and he... I clocked him across the jaw with a right hook. Then I went after him. Arms grabbed me and pulled me back. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, I snapped, straining against Zeke's hold. She practically killed herself for her. Zeke stopped, pulling me back, as Isaac turned and joined us. Ethan stood up and wiped his nose as he eyed me. What the fuck are you talking about? Ethan growled. Lexi, in December, she practically killed herself to reach the veil, Zeke shot at Ethan. Or don't you remember her being so sick? She didn't realize she walked in the snow to the cemetery. Ethan grew still. That was for Sophie, I bit out. Zeke let me go. I stepped away from him, still seething. She stayed with me that week. I saw what she went through. The nightmares she kept having, so she could cross Sophie when she was ready. What nightmares? Isaac asked, his voice thick. Everyone looked at me expectantly, moving into a circle. She didn't. I sighed. Of course she didn't tell them. Remember the serial killer's memories? The ones that she had? I asked. They all nodded. While she was at my house, she could either work on the link to the veil or get rid of them. But not both. I met Ethan's eyes. Guess which one she chose? Silence swept through the circle. She'd wake up, thinking she was the one killing and hurting those women. Zeke turned away and took off a few steps, his hand running down his face. Isaac ran his hands through his hair, his fingers digging into his scalp. How bad was it? Miles asked. Bad enough that she forgot who she was almost every night, I explained. I had to tell her she wasn't the one doing those things. Some nights, it took a couple hours to bring her back. Everyone cursed. Ethan started twirling his rings. Miles started tapping a staccato rhythm against his leg. Zeke turned back to the group. She didn't tell us about the nightmares. Zeke caught Miles' gaze. Why didn't she say anything? Zeke looked at me. Why didn't you say anything? I sighed. Because I liked knowing something about her that you guys didn't. I couldn't tell them the truth. Not right now. I thought she would, I lied. So Lexi went through a great deal more than we were aware of, Miles summed up, his voice cold. I nodded. Yeah. I turned to Ethan. So don't ever fucking say she could have done more. She went through hell already for Sophie. Isaac turned his back, walked to the edge of the water and sat down again. He was still and quiet. That was never a good sign. Tell her to cross Sophie now, Ethan said, his gaze on the ground. It's not that easy. She was pulled back here by you, Miles explained. Ethan cursed. Isaac was still as a statue as Miles continued. You have to deal with this, Ethan. She's not going to be able to leave until you do. And she wants to go. She's ready. The quarry was silent as Ethan turned away from the group and went back to his brother. He sat down next to Isaac. Without a word, the twins turned away from each other and rested against the other's back. It was what they did when either of them was upset. Ever since we were kids, one would find the other and they'd sit that way. My own heart heavy, I moved to Ethan's right and sat down on the dirt next to him. Miles sat next to Isaac's left. Zeke sat behind the twins. We watched the water with them. If they thought we'd leave, they were wrong. We weren't going anywhere. Not as long as they needed us.
Lexi. The drive to Northridge was a blur. I barely remember parking the car or climbing the steps. When I walked into the store, I didn't wait for her. I strode through the curtain at the back and found her in the kitchen. Two steaming cups of tea were already on the table. Serena put the kettle down, then turned to me, her silver eyes assessing. Serena was a pretty woman with mocha skin and a lovely face. Her tight curls were pulled back into a bun at the back of her head.
"I felt you coming 10 miles out," she said calmly. "You're hurting."
"No shit," I growled. "What can pull a ghost back after they crossed?" Serena gave me a serene smile.
"Why do you..."
"Because I just had to tell two of my best friends that their dead little sister is in their house," I snapped. "And she says one of them keeps pulling her back. Now what can I do?" Serena leaned back in her chair.
"It depends on the situation."
"Give me a list, Serena," I bit out. Serena's eyes flashed mercury at me, and I didn't give a damn.
"You're in a lot of pain, so I'm going to give you some slack."
Her voice turned heated.
"Don't hang yourself with it."
I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. "I need answers, not the runaround," I told her. "You owe me." Her eyes narrowed at me.
"For what?"
"Mary Summers," I reminded her. "You held back information that could have saved her." She was quiet for several heartbeats.
"Are you calling in that debt?"
she asked in an oddly formal way.
"Yes,"
I all but hissed, my temper still boiling inside me.
"What do you want?"
Serena asked in a neutral voice.
"I want the truth, not the runaround. Nothing held back. All of it," I told her.
She sighed as she looked over my shoulder. When she met my eyes again, they were all business.
"Just for today. Agreed?"
"Fine." I sat down across from her. "Now what can call someone back after they have crossed?"
"Danger to a loved one?
A family member holding on too tightly, or as a messenger, or even the soul watching over a family member," Serena stated simply. I was almost shocked that I had gotten a straight answer from her. "And I'm thinking I can't cross her until whoever is holding her here lets go?" I leaned back in my chair, my anger fading from me, leaving only a deep ache in my chest.
"Correct,"
she nodded. I moved on to my next question. "There's no other way?" I demanded.
"Not unless you want to unmake her,"
she countered. I moved on.
"Why didn't you help back in October?"
I asked, my voice turning raspy. I swallowed, trying to fix it without drinking the tea Serena set out. She sighed.
"I had just met you. Magic is an extremely powerful force. I didn't know you well enough to give it to you."
"Why won't you give me the second book?"
"Because I haven't seen your control. I haven't seen how you work. I'm not about to just hand you what the Witches' Council has been protecting for centuries and hope that you can handle it."
Good point," I said sarcastically. "Except I don't work in the physical world. I work in the Veil, and I need to know more."
"I'm sure you think you've got it down."
"I made an alarm within the Veil itself this week. Anything crosses into it, and I'll know," I stated. She blinked. Then I added, "Just the other morning, I crossed a rotting ghost. You know, the kind like Mary Summers?" Her face went white. I held up my forearms for her to see the scratches. "He fought the entire way, but once he hit the Veil, the extra energy was taken from him, and he was himself again." She lifted her mug and sipped her tea. "I can conjure anything I picture in the Veil. Now tell me again that I don't have the control for the next steps." Serena met my eyes.
"I'll have to talk with the Witches' Council. They'll want a meeting before they hand over the next book from the archives."
I scoffed. "So you don't even have the information I need?" Her eyes narrowed on me.
"You need to step lightly.
The guardians of this world have pulled back. The Witches' Council policies for magic users are law now. You're going to have to follow their rules. I grew still. That sounded like a threat. You said that before. You also said that necromancy is a road that doesn't end well. I met her eyes. Care to explain all of that? This world's guardians kept the balance, though for the last 400 years their numbers have dropped. So 200 years ago they had to pull back. A witches' council was formed. A deal was struck recently that allows witches to police all witches and magic users without them looking over our shoulders, Serena explained. Our rules are simple. Harm none. And about necromancy being a road that doesn't end well, I reminded her. She wasn't going to slither out of this one. She sighed. Our records over the last 200 years show that necromancers, more than any other kind of magic user, go rogue. Rogue? I asked, my voice dead. Serena met my gaze. Bad enough to have to be dealt with, Serena said nonchalantly. My stomach knotted. They kill necromancers? I asked bluntly, because I needed the truth. Only when they've crossed lines that should never be crossed, Serena explained. And who decides where the lines are? I snapped back. The council. And what's your version of rogue? I asked, my temper spiking. Is it one mistake? Two? Serena held my gaze as she answered. Once a necromancer raises the dead, they usually have to be dealt with. Why? I asked directly. Because your abilities come from death. You're attracted to it. You live in it. You are surrounded by it. Serena leaned forward. And it will twist you until you aren't you anymore. Once you raise the dead, you'll change. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This was just too much today. I eyed her. Is one of the reasons you won't give me book two because you think I'll use it to work in the physical world? Serena's eyes didn't move from mine. Yes. I nodded. Great. Prejudice among magic users. Figures. Now the big question, I said. Can I trust you? She blinked, then met my gaze again. Depends. On? If you raise the dead or not, she said matter-of-factly. I had my answer. I'm trying to save the veil here. I have bigger concerns. I got up and headed for the curtain. If you can already do everything from the book in the veil, Serena began. I stopped at the curtain. Your abilities are strong and growing rapidly. By my guess, it won't be long before you're raising the dead from their graves. Her voice was cold, with an edge to it. I pushed the curtain aside and walked away from her threat, because that's what it was. If I raised the dead, the Witch's Council would come for me. Shit. By the time I got home, it was almost dark. I cursed as I looked at the house. The shadows crossing the lawn, the tall bushes hiding who knows what. I closed my eyes and told myself to nut up. I climbed out and walked up to the door with shaking hands. I went inside quickly. I took several deep breaths as I tried to get my calm back. Rory spotted me from the kitchen. "Hey, kid, how was your day?" he asked. "Terrible, bordering on catastrophic," I told him as I walked to the table and dropped into a chair. Rory turned off the stove and came over with a dish towel over his shoulder. "What happened?" I looked up at him, tears filling my eyes. "I had to tell the twins about Sophie today." He cursed as he pulled out a chair and sat next to me. "Tell me what happened." I did. I told him everything. Then I told him about my meeting with Serena, leaving out the Witches' Council and her death threat. Rory wouldn't take well to that. So there's nothing you can do if Ethan keeps holding on? He asked, his eyes worried. Nope, not a damn thing. I looked down at the table. He wrapped his arm around my shoulders and gave me a squeeze.
It's going to be okay, kid, he said gently. They just need to get over the shock and process everything. Then they'll be able to deal with it.
I nodded, hoping that he was right. I should have told them when I found out, I muttered.
No, that wouldn't have made it any better, he assured me. Sometimes not telling someone something important is for that person's own good.
Like Tara? I asked, before I could think. He sighed. I turned to him. Sorry, it just popped out.
Yeah, like Tara, he said. It's obvious she's not mine biologically, but she is my daughter in every way that counts.
I left it at that. It was his story. He could tell who he wanted to. He met my eyes again.
The point is, it would have hurt those boys more if they knew their sister was there and they couldn't do anything about it.
I knew he was right. It just sucks, I muttered.
I know, kid.
He gave me another squeeze. I looked up at him. Want help with dinner? He grinned.
Sure. Come on.
I followed him into the kitchen to find him trying to bake chicken and make the fixings. Only he was way off on the potatoes, and the green beans were already burnt. I showed him what to do, and soon we had an edible meal. Tara came in just as we were sitting down. She dropped her bag and joined us. Over dinner, she kept shooting me smug, knowing looks. I ignored it because I had enough to deal with already without her adding her own crap to the mix. I heard a rumor today, Tara announced. I took a bite of my chicken and ignored her.
What rumor?
Rory asked, before taking a bite of mashed potatoes. Tara looked at me, smiling smugly. That Lexi is sleeping with Asher Westfall, she announced. I rolled my eyes and went back to my dinner. The silence grew thick around the table.
Lexi? Anything you want to say about that? Rory asked calmly.
I looked up from my plate to find his face blank. It's not true, I told him simply. I'm not dating anyone, and I'm not looking to right now. Rory seemed to believe me since he went back to his meal. Tara, on the other hand. Oh, please. Jessica Westfall saw you coming out of his room early in the morning in nothing but one of Asher's shirts. I shrugged. I went over to talk to Asher early in the morning, and I was fully dressed in my own clothes, the same way I arrived, thank you.
Why'd you go over so early?
Rory asked. I was having a panic attack and couldn't remember how to make breakfast, I muttered as I started poking at my food with my fork.
Which is how you ended up at Asher's,
Rory finished for me. I nodded. How could you not remember how to make breakfast? Tara asked. I looked up to tell her to go to hell, only she looked curious. I sighed. During a panic attack, you don't think straight. Your mind is racing. You're swimming in fear and just trying to keep your head above the water. It's hard to think rationally. So you ended up at Asher's how? She asked, an eyebrow raised. You're supposed to distract yourself to help stop an anxiety attack. I couldn't remember how to make breakfast, and Asher loves to cook, so I figured he could help me remember, I explained, my shoulders tense. I didn't like explaining this to her, but she didn't seem to be making fun of me. Those blue eyes ran over me. That sucks. I blinked at her. Yeah, it really does. Tara turned to Rory and changed the subject. She went on and on about student council and their fundraisers over the next few weeks. Was Tara being nice? It seemed so. My thoughts moved back to the twins. I wondered how they were, what the guys were doing. I was worried about all of them. After dinner, I headed upstairs with Hades. I lay down and checked my phone. No calls, no texts. I need to know everyone was all right.